وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومواله. أما بعد، إن شاء الله تعالى we continue the lesson we taken from the كتاب of Sheikh سليمان رحيل حفظه الله، شرح صحيح الترغيب والترهيب، شرح كتاب الصيام من صحيح الترغيب والترهيب. Before we start the new session, there was a question. One of the brothers asked, when the Sheikh Sulaiman Hafidahullah, he was asked the ruling of a woman who takes medicine for having a baby, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, by the permission of Allah. امرأة تأخذ دواء من أجل الإنجاب. She takes a medicine to give birth. وقد حدد لها الطبيب أوقاتا معينة للدواء لمدة 4 أشهر. And the doctor limited for her a time 4 months. To take the medicine. وألزمها الطبيب بهذه الأوقات حتى تستفيد من الدواء. In order to benefit from the medicine. فهل يجوز لها الفطر في نهار رمضان والحالة هذه؟ Is it allowed for her to break the fasting in the day of Ramadan and this is her situation? The Sheikh, to summarize, his answer was yes. He said, الذي يظهر لي والله أعلم أن هذه حاجة معتبرة شرعا فهي من أعلى درجات العلاج فتفطر وإذا انتهى هذا تقضي إن شاء الله. So the Sheikh said yes, because this is a need, consider a need legislatively because of the علاج, because of the treatment. So she break the fasting and when the medicine finish, she make it up that day. The time she, means the days she break the fasting. One of the brother asked, fasting, he may not be here. He's not here. Barakallahu fiik, Abu Abdullah. He said, fasting is a mandatory. And taking the medicine, is taking a medicine more mandatory than fasting? الحمد لله أخونا أبو عبد الله يوسف asked الشيخ سليمان رحيلي the question and the Sheikh he mentioned that the fatwa the verdict is clear الفتوى واضحة والإشكال عندكم وليس فيها means there is no confusion in the verdict and the answer of the Sheikh the verdict is clear the confusion is with you means the questioner so the way I understand is the Sheikh is saying that this is this person who can't give birth without taking a medicine is considered somebody who is sick. And somebody who is sick and taking a medicine due to the sickness, illness, is allowed to break the fasting. It's allowed to break the fasting. Anyone who is sick now. With diabetes or any other sickness, any illness, type of illness considered to be illness, not like headache and the like, something doesn't affect the fasting. It's allowed to break the fasting and to make up. The Sheikh, he says this is like that. That's the meaning, that this person who can't give birth is somebody who is sick. She's taking treatment. Because of that treatment, she break the fasting and she make it up. أن الله أعلم. طيب. Then the Sheikh, the last lesson, Hafidhahullah, he talk about the nullifiers of fasting. He mentioned the eating and the drinking, and he mentioned Hafidhahullah. الجماع, the intercourse. So the Sheikh said قَوْلَ قَالَ in page 7 وَيَدَعُ لَذَّتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِ وَيَدَعُ يعني قول الله عز وجل وَيَدَعُ لَذَّتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِ وَيَدَعُ زَوْجَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِ. هذا الأصل الثالث من أصول المفطرات. وقد دل القرآن على أن الصائم يجب عليه أن يجتنب الرفث مع زوجته وأن يجتنب مباشرة زوجته وهو صائم. هذا الذي دل عليه القرآن. قال الله عز وجل أحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم فتاب عليكم وعفى عنكم فالآن باشروهن وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل. انتبهوا يا إخوة وحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم. مفهوم هذا ماذا؟ في نهار الصيام يحرم عليكم الرفث إلى نسائكم. ما هو الرفث؟ الرفث كل ما يريده الرجل من امرأته يتلذذ به. قال الله فالآن باشرهن أي في الليل ثم قال ثم أتم الصيام إلى الليل أي إذا صمتم فلا تباشرهن. إذن القرآن دل على أن الصائم يجب عليه أن يجتنب اللذة مع امرأته مطلقا ما دام أنه صائم. ولو لم تفصل السنة هذا لقلنا به سنة هذا لقلنا به، لكن السنة تفصلت وبينت أن الشهوة التي يمنع منها الصائم هي لذة الفرج، لأن الشهوة يا إخوة أوسع من لذة الفرج. اللسان له شهوة، العين لها شهوة، المقصود بالشهوة التي يتركها الصائم لذة الفرج بالاتفاق. والذي دلت عليه الأدلة أنه أمران، الجماع أنزل أو لم ينزل. وما هو الجماع؟ أن يلتقي الختان بالختان، أو كما يعبر الفقهاء أن يغيب الحشفة في الفرج. فإذا غيب الحشفة فقد جامع، فإذا فعل أفطر وجب عليه القضاء ولزمته الكفارة المغلظة حتى لو لم ينزل حتى لو كان لحظة. والثاني إنزال المني بفعل الإنسان، أن يفعل الصائم شيئا يؤدي إلى نزول المني، فإذا حصل هذا فقد أفطر وعليه القضاء، والراجح أنه لا كفارة عليه. هذان هما الشهوة التي يجب على الصائم أن يدعهما. الشيخ حفظه الله mentioned حديث of Allah عز وجل، حديث القدسي that Allah said about the fasting person he leave his pleasure for my sake he leave his wife for his my sake. الشيخ said this is the third from the مفطرات the nullifiers that the Quran, Allah mentioned in the Quran. So the foundation of the nullifiers of fasting are three. Al-jima' intercourse, al-aklu wa shurbu, eating and drinking. Yarhamukallah, eating and drinking. So when someone is fasting, it's not allowed a man to have a relationship with his wife. And it's not allowed to have intercourse with his wife, and it's not allowed to eat or to drink. Also, it's not allowed to have what goes under the meaning of eating and drinking. Under the ruling of eating and drinking, like the HIV injection to as a nourishment. Something you don't eat, you don't drink, but at the same time you get the benefit of eating, of drinking, like they put blood on you or nourishment. So that has the meaning of eating and drinking. It's break the fasting. So far three nullifiers of fasting: eating and drinking, and intercourse, and also have the meaning of eating and drinking. And also intentionally throwing out, vomiting intentionally, break the fasting. Also hayd wa nifas, menses and nifas, break the fasting. Also what the ulama call istimna, masturbation, break the fasting. And the worst thing, break the fasting, wal-iyadu billah, is riddah, leaving Islam. So to avoid than a virus of fasting. Then the Sheikh mentioned the detail of this. And then the Sheikh he talked about mas'ala. أما ما دون ذلك فقدلت الأدلة على عدم منع الصائم منها إلا في الحالتين. The verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade al-rafath. Allah allowed, permit a man to have a rafath with his wife the night time. The Sheikh said what's being understood is it's not allowed to have the man to have rafath with his wife in the daytime when he's fasting. That's the mafhum. And the rafath, the Sheikh said, is everything the man wants from his wife as a way of pleasure, seeking sexual pleasure. It's not allowed. Sheikh, if there wouldn't be a sunnah which detail the matter, the apparent meaning of the verse is general. Anything which a man may approach to his wife as a way of seeking pleasure, sexual pleasure, would have been forbidden. But the sunnah, the hadith, shows that there is a type, the Sheikh said, because the seeking sexual pleasure is more than having intercourse, is the eye have pleasure, the hand has pleasure, all this. So here it means the intercourse, not any kind. As for the verse, it's general. But the sunnah mentioned that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will mention it. He kissed his wife while he is fasting, and he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, continued fasting. And with some narration, it was Ramadan. So he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kissed his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, and he continued fasting. And when she was asked radiallahu anha, she said, "Who of you able to control his desire like the Messenger of Allah?" So the one who is able to control his desire while he's fasting Ramadan is allowed to kiss his wife. But the one who is not able or is not sure, he may go farther, and also he may have ejaculation, then he's not allowed. It's haram to stay away from it. So depending on. Then the Sheikh mentioned طيب. The Sheikh said, page 10, إذن انتبهوا يا إخوة لهذه المسألة فإن فيها خلطة. الصائم ممنوع من الجماع مطلقة فإن جامع أفطر ولزمه القضاء والكفارة. So brothers know that some people, they mistake in this matter. The fasting person is not permitted, is not allowed to have intercourse. And if he does that with his wife, he breaks the fasting and he has to make it up, and there is a kafara, expiation for that. If someone has that type of relationship with his wife in Ramadan, then what's upon him is first he break the fasting. Second, he has to make up that day. Third, he has to make kafara, expiation, which is the greatest expiation. Is he has to, what should you do? What's the expiation? Naam. Which one is first? Free slave first. If he's not able, fast 2 months consecutively. If he is not able, feed 60 poor. Barakallahu fi Hassan. You are with me. Feed 60 poor. 60 poor, poor people. Feed. So this is in order. If he is able, first he has to free his slave. He is not, he fast 2 consecutive months. He is not able, he feed 60 poor. This is the kafara. وممنوع من مس الفرج مطلقا ما يجوز يجب على أن يجتنب هذا الموضع ولذلك عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت له ما دون الفرج لأن بعض الناس سمع أن صائم يجوز له أن يباشر ما لم يجامع فتجاوز إلى ذلك الموضع هذا الموضع ليس مأذون للصائم فيه مطلقا وأما المباشر دون ذلك والمداعبة دون ذلك التقبيل ونحو فإن كان يغلب على ظن أنها تؤدي إلى الإنزال فإنها حرام ويجب اجتنابها. So if a man plays with his wife while he's fasting, he knows that might lead ejaculation. It's haram. He has to avoid that. فإن فعل فأنزل فأفطر. If he does that and it happened, then he break the fast. Ejaculation comes, he break the fast. وإن لم ينزل مع غلبة الظن أنه يؤدي إلى الإنزال يأثم ولا يفطر. أما إذا لم يغلب على الظن التعدي والتجاوز فإن ذلك جائز. يدل لهذا ما جاء في هذا الحديث الذي معناه يدع لذته من أجله ويدع زوجته من أجله. يدع لذته من أجل هذه أخوة فيها رد على الذين يقولون إنه لا يمنع صائم من الشهوة إلا من الجماع، لأنه في الحديث يدع لذته من أجله ويدع زوجته من أجله. يدع زوجته من أجله هذا الجماع. الشيخ mentioned the hadith of Qudsi. Allah mentioned that the man, the fast person, leave his pleasure for the sake of for Allah's sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala. For his wife, زوجته, his wife, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows that having intercourse with a wife is forbidden, is haram. Also in the hadith, not only that, but also يدعو لذته من أجلي. He also leaves his pleasure for my sake. ويدعو لذته من إذن اللذة شيء آخر غير الجماع. وهو الفعل الذي يؤدي إلى الإنزال. فإذا حصل هذا فإنه يكون قد فعل مفطرا. So the well also it's not allowed is the man to do with his wife what leads to ejaculation. If that's haram too. And if that happened, what is the ruling? The ulama, some of them they say it break the fasting and there is kafara. Some of them say it break the fasting, but there's no kafara. نعم. Then the Sheikh حفظه الله he mentions that some of the ulama they said Sufyan al-Thawri Sufyan ibn Uyayn رحمه الله page 11 وسئل سفيان بن عيين عن قوله تعالى كل من عادم له إلا الصوم كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصوم فإنه لقب. وقال إذا كان يوم القيامة يحاسب الله عز وجل عبده ويؤدي ما عليه من المظالم من سائر عمله حتى لا يبقى إلا الصوم فيتحمل الله ما بقي عليه من المظالم ويدخله بالصوم الجنة. هذا كلام وهو غريب. He mentioned that this great scholar Sufyan ibn Uyayna said that on the day of judgment if a Muslim comes, he oppresses people, he oppresses people, as Hadith Sahih Muslim shows, these people, they will get his righteous deeds based on how much he oppressed them. In that hadith, when this Muslim, his righteous actions ends, and still he owed them, their bad deeds will be placed on him based on how much he oppressed them. So their bad deeds will be taken away from them, placed on him, and then he will be thrown to hellfire. This alim said, fasting is not included. The person will not be taken from the fasting. The fasting will be kept for him, and by it he will enter Jannah. Unlike the rest of the action, Salah and the like, it goes with the oppression, by oppressing people. The Sheikh Suleiman, he didn't agree this opinion. He said rather, even the fasting will go away from the oppressor. Because of the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Al-Muflisu min ummati mayati yawm al-qiyamah bi salatin wa sawmin wa sadaqa. The one who fell into bankrupt from my ummah is one who will come on the day of judgment with prayer, fasting, and sadaqah, charity. And it was a riwayah with zakah. Instead of charity, zakah. فَذَكَرَ الصَّوْمَ نَصًا. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned the sawm, the fasting. So, فَهَذَا الْقَوْلُ وَإِنْ قَالَهُ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ ضَعِيفٌ. This opinion, this statement, even though it was said by some of the people of knowledge, but it is weak. Well, is weak. Because this opinion of this great alim contradicts to the hadith. Yes, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, from great ulama, from the muhaddithun. Na'am, from the narrators of Bukhari and Muslim. Rahimahullah, he had this opinion that fasting will not be from the actions that goes away. The people take away from the person who oppressed them on the day of judgment. But in hadith in Sahih Muslim, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, fasting include that. Now what do you do it? You say this great scholar said it. Or you say the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it. Yes. Today there are people out there who call people to blindly follow. You have to follow one of the school of thought. Follow, be Shafi, be Maliki, be Hanafi, be Hanbali. You have to follow one of them. How would if I come to know that this great scholar, this madhab says this, has this opinion, but the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has a meaning contrary to that opinion. They say, no, you are not a scholar, right? Follow what that scholar says. How about if the scholar for instance, the madhab, Shafi'i, didn't say this? What he didn't say what the hadith shows, what the hadith indicates, what the hadith is proof for it. But Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i's sheikh, had opinion which go along with the hadith. Say, no, you have to be Shafi'i. You cannot take something from Shafi'i, another one from Imam Malik. You have to be madhab. Just say yesterday, somebody was telling me, this is not the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih. It's not what Prophet ﷺ taught people to go to a school of thought. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught people the ayah of Allah, فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you differ in anything, return it back to Allah, the Quran, and to the Rasul, to the messengers. Not to that specific sheikh, specific. Yes, we go back to the ulama, especially those four imams. We respected them, we benefit from them, but we don't blind follow them. When we see, there's a text saying otherwise. Yes, study the fiqh on madhab. Nothing is wrong with that. On madhab Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, madhab Imam Shafi, madhab Imam Abu Hanifa, madhab Imam Malik, that's good. That's good. The ulama, they encourage that with a condition. Don't blind follow. Also be careful what the deviators today use to misguide not any Muslim, even people of Sunnah. And they actually already misguided some of the people of Sunnah. They become Sufi. Some of the people of Sunnah become Ash'ari. Through what? Through this tricking. They say, you have to study upon madhab. Okay. When you start studying the madhab, those who explain the books of madhab, some of them are Ash'ari. Some of them have the ideology of Jahmiyya. Ash'ari are Jahmiyya. They have some of the ideology of Jahmiyya. For instance, they deny that Allah is up. Jahmiyya deny, the ulama they make takfir on Jahmiyya. Another group called Ash'ari, they deny also that Allah is up with the same argument of Jahmiyya. So those explain many the books of fiqh. So then when the sheikh explained the book you studying, and you don't know that sheikh, you don't have this sound understanding, be careful about your aqidah, about the creed. Fiqh issue, the ulama they differ. But the aqidah, the ulama, they don't differ because there's a clear text. So whoever you take in the fiqh, be careful about this aqidah. This student was not trained in that way. So he takes this book explained by Ash'ari. He loved this Ash'ari, Sheikh, because he explained the book for him. He made it easy for him to understand the fiqh. And then as he is taking from him the explanation of the fiqh maris, he ended up taking also the explanation of the aqidah maris. So he became Ash'ari through that way. And he comes saying, most of the ulama are Asha'ira, those who explain the books of fiqh. Such and such is Ash'ari, some of such is Ash'ari, he names so many scholars. So you saying all those are wrong? Now, where is your aqidah? Who told you the majority? Through majority, you know the truth. The haq is known through qala Allah wa qala Rasul, qala Sahaba. Allah said, the messenger said, the companion said, this is the truth. Ibn Mas'ud said, al-jama'atu ma wafaq al-haqqa wa in kunta wahdak, the group who everybody should be with to hold into it is what go along with the truth, even if you are by yourself. Therefore, some ulama used to say such and such, they mention one scholar, they say he is jama'ah. Who is jama'ah? So again, yes, benefit from the books of the ulama. We have to benefit from the books of ulama. We have to love the ulama. We have to honor the scholars. But we don't blind follow one of them. Especially when we know other scholars differ him and the proof is with them. The proof, like this case. Sufyan ibn Uyayn rahimahullah says, the person will not lose on the day of judgment the fasting, even if he oppressed people. And the hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim that he will lose it. Who you take now? You take the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who call, be careful, those who call people to blind follow to this scholar, you can't be. Subhanallah, one time between Maghrib and Isha in the Prophet's Masjid, I have seen four brothers before me praying, and when they make a sujood, they lift up their feet. They take their feet up. It's not on the ground. When they finish the salah, I tell Akhiwa, brothers, there is hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. Prophet said, I was commanded to make sujood on seven limbs. From that, wa atraf al qaddamain, the toes. They say, what school of thought are you? I say, I didn't mention any school of thought. I mentioned hadith. Prophet said that. Say no. Okay. They say it's one of two. Either you have school of thought, you follow, or you don't have it. If you have it, we respect it. We are Maliki. It's not mandatory to put the toes on the ground when you make a sujood. We Maliki. If we are Shafi, we respect you. If you're Hanafi, we respect you. If you're Hanbali, we respect you. If you are not a madhab, we're not even talking to you. And they turn away from me. They never talk to me after that. On the day of judgment, we will meet, inshallah. Will we meet on the day of judgment? Inshallah. Yes, Allah said, Allah yahkum baynakum yawm al-qiyamah fima kuntum fihi takhtalifun. Anyone who differ, any people who have difference, Allah will judge between them on the day of judgment. Anyone. Yes. Tayyib. So then the Shaykh, he mentioned that issue. Then the Shaykh, he mentioned the hadith, page 12, he mentioned, قال رحمه الله وفي معنى هذه اللفظة أوجه كثيرة ليس هذا موضع استيفائها وتقدم حديث الحارث الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه وفيه وآمركم بالصيام ومثل ذلك كمثل رجل ومثل ذلك كمثل رجل في عصابة معه صرة مسك كل يحب أن يجد ريحها وإن الصيام أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك. الحديث رواه الترمذي والصحابة إلا أنه قال وإن الريح الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك. وابن خزيم في صحيحه واللفظ له وابن حبان والحاكم وتقدم بتمامه في الالتفات في الصلاة. The Shaykh mentioned here the hadith of the Sahaba al-Harith al-Ash'ar radiallahu anhu, long hadith. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam mentioned that Allah command Prophet Yahya to implement five commands and also to call the children of Israel, the Muslims at that time, to implement, to apply, to act according to it. Prophet Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't do right away. Prophet Isa said to him, my brother, Allah command you to fulfill these commands and to tell the children of Israel to fulfill the command. You either do or I do it. Prophet Yahya said, no, brother, don't do that, lest Allah punish me. So Allah doesn't punish me. So he hastened. He gathered the Muslims in the Masjid al-Aqsa. The masjid get full. They were sitting on the balcony. And then he gave what he conveyed the message. So Prophet Isa and Yahya, they were leaving the same time. Who was older? Yes, Prophet Yahya was older, 6 months. What was their relationship? Cousins, mashallah, barakallah. What was his name? Yeah, Ali, barakallah, Ali, yes. Then the hadith, the Prophet Yahya, alayhi salatu salam, he mentioned that Allah commanded them the tawheed. He gave parable of that. Allah commanded them the salah. He gave parable. Allah commanded them the fasting. He gave parable. So the zakah, the fasting. About the parable he gave the fasting is wa amurukum bisiyam, and I command you to fast. Prophet Yahya saying this to Prophet to the children of Israel, to the Muslims. ومثل ذلك مثل رجل في عصابة معه صرة مسكين. And the parable of that, the likeness of that, the fasting is like a man who is in a group. This man has what's called sachet. He has a packet of, he has a container. There is miski in it, pregnancy in it. The container is closed, but because of the strong fragrance and perfume, people, they find it. This man in the middle of the people. كلهم يحب أن يجد الريح. Everyone wants to get the scent. وإن الصيام أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك. And the fasting is more dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the fragrance of the misk. So if somebody is in a group and he is fasting, that person normally, especially the last part of the day, his mouth smells in a way people dislike it. But it is so sweet, so dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the misk, the perfume, the fragrance. So this is how this person is special. It's like someone who carrying a container of misk. No one else has it, and everyone wants to get that smell. This is the likeness of someone who is a fasting. That's how that person is special than the rest of the people who are not fasting, who are with him. Then the Sheikh, Hafidhahullah Sheikh Sulaiman, therefore he said, وَلْذَلِكَ الصَّائِمِ لَا يَسْتَوْحِشُ بِقِلَّةِ الصَّائِمِينَ. يعني إذا كنت في بلد أو مكان أو أسرة لا يصوم فيها إلا أنت فلا تستوحش. فأنت الذي معه صرة المسك. أنت الطيب عند الله. ورائحة الفم الصائب أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك. The Sheikh said, like, therefore, the fasting person shouldn't feel he's alone, or he's, if the, his family, if he's in a land or a place or a, in a family, they don't fast, he shouldn't feel wahsha, he's only himself. He shouldn't feel it. You are the only person fasting. No. He said, you are the one who has that container full of perfume, which smells. So therefore, don't consider yourself. Then the Sheikh, he mentioned the mas'ala, which is أن من نوى الليلة الصيام فإنه يكفيه لبقية الشهر. نعم من الكمال أن ينوي كل ليلة، لكن لو غفل في ليلة فصومه صحيح ما دام أنه نوى في أول ليلة، إلا إذا انقطع صومه أثناء الشهر، مثلا سافر فأفطر أو حاضت المرأة فأفطرت. إذا أراد أن يصوم بعد أن يزول العذر لا بد من أن ينوي في الليل أنه سيصوم، لأن نيته الأولى قد انقطعت. فأذكر نفسي وإخواني بهذا الأمر العظيم. The Sheikh he mentioned the مسألة the علماء they differ. Is it required in order the fasting to be valid that person has to intend every night of fasting that he's going to fast the next day, or what's sufficient is to intend the beginning of Ramadan that he's going to fast whole month. Therefore, if he forgets some of the nights, he can fast the daytime. Na'am, the hadith says, مَنْ لَمْ يُبَيِّتِ الصِّيَامَ فَلَا صِيَامَ لَهُ. The one who doesn't intend fasting the night at night, he doesn't have fasting. This is for the mandatory fasting. You have to intend from the night time that you're going to fast tomorrow. As for the optional fasting, you can fast in the middle of the day. As long as you didn't do anything which nullify the fasting of eating and drinking, the light before you start fasting. As for the mandatory, you have to intend from night. This agree upon. But the ulama, they differ. Is one intention at the beginning of the month of Ramadan enough? Or you have to intend every night? The ulama, they say, you have to intend every night. Some of they say the month of Ramadan, the beginning of the month is sufficient. Sheikh Sulaiman here, he says, yes, one intention is sufficient from the beginning of the month with a condition that you didn't cut that intention. You didn't break the fasting. Like you travel, you have excuse to break the fasting. You travel, you break the fasting, you have to intend whenever you come in, you want to resume fasting. You have to intend it from nighttime. Like women, she had menses. She break the fasting. The fasting broke down. When she is going to go back to fast, she has to intend from night. But if that doesn't happen, the Sheikh say it's sufficient to intend fasting of Ramadan from the beginning of the month. لو غفل في ليلة فصومه صحيح ما دام أنه نوى في أول ليلة. So one night he forget to intend that he is going to fast tomorrow night. The Sheikh said his fasting is valid as long he intended the beginning of the month, the first night of the month. طيب. And some ulama, they say, no, every night he has to intend. Even though the Sheikh himself said, Al-akmal min al-kamal an yanwiya kulla layla. What's more complete is to intend every night of the month of Ramadan that you're going to fast tomorrow. Also another mas'ala, what is the rule of saying the intention? Some masajidis, especially where there are any virus or some area, al-muhim, after the Maghrib prayer, the Imam, he say the intention for the people. So right after Salah, I used to be sometime in that masjid. Nawaitu sawma ghadin, the Imam says, I intend to fasting tomorrow, and then mention the intention. And they believe they have to say that. Not only they have to utter the intention, pronounce the intention, but also they have to join the Imam. So a whole night you grieve because you miss the Imam saying that for you and you saying after it. The ulama, they mention, there is nothing showing anything to say the intention in the religion of Allah. The intention is in the heart. You don't say it. Except an issue they differ, which is the Hajj and Umrah. Some of the ulama, they say, even the Hajj and Umrah, Prophet ﷺ, he said it, but not to say his intention, but to acknowledge people, what type of Hajj he enter. Some ulama say that. So they say, no, the Hajj is exceptional. Say, Allahumma labbayka Hajjan wa Umrah, Allahumma labbayka Umrah, Allahumma labbayka Hajjan. But they didn't differ on the other issues. So don't say the intention when you fast. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he explained this, he said intention is in the heart. You don't need to say it. He said, like when you're eating food, you say, I'm eating food in order to get this, in order to, you don't say that. So just you intend to eat food, you intend to fast, you intend the same thing, takbir, salah. Some people when they enter in salah, usalli arba'a rak'atin lillahi ta'ala. What was it? Usalli salat al-isha. أربع ركعات أداء نعم لله تعالى yes صحيح بارك الله فيك. So some of them they have very difficult. الله أكبر, they keep repeating الله أكبر الله الله. So why you saying intention to be said? They say because the old people and the like, if they don't see it, they don't say it, they may not remember. Okay, so you make people to say, to be easy for them, yeah, you make hard on them. Because they, even after saying loud, they cannot say this thing. They have to say Allahu Akbar with the intention. So they have to make sure. Subhanallah. One time, our sheikh was giving a class, and a man entered the masjid, and he started struggling with Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah. We laughed that time. Even the sheikh who was giving the class, only sheikh, he laughed too. The beginning, he didn't like what we're doing. But when he see all the students around him, and he see the man how he's struggling, he also laughs. Astaghfirullah. Al-Muhim. So they wanted those ulama to make easy, but they make it difficult. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to intend, used to say Allahu Akbar. Used to intend the fasting, used to fast. He was not used to say. So no need for that. And finally, the Sheikh, he mentioned an issue that the Sheikh, he said, ثم أنبه الإخوة إلى أنه إن شاء الله من الغد في دروس رمضان. Sheikh gave this talk the night of Sha'ban. So tomorrow night is going to be Ramadan. When the Sheikh. So he said, he mentioned that he doesn't like somebody to go with him after the class. Usually, the student of knowledge in the Prophet's masjid, when the Sheikh finished the class after Isha, they follow him to ask questions. They remain with him after Isha. They come, they ask questions, hundreds of questions sometimes, based on the time the Sheikh has it. Then when the Sheikh goes, they go with him. So Sheikh here, he mentioned, I don't like that. He says, رحمه حفظه الله, إن شاء من الغفل الدروس رمضان بعد درس لا أسمح لأحد بأن يمشي معي. I'm not allowing anybody to go with me. After the class, he said, it's Ramadan, a burden to the people, students, people praying, people. He said, I don't want anybody to go with me. Then he said, أنا في الحقيقة أكره أن يمشي معي أحد. In reality, not only in because of Ramadan, I dislike the Sheikh. I hate somebody to go with me. ويعلم الله أني لا أحب أن يلتفت إلي الناس. And Allah knows that I don't like people to look at me. You know, the ulama, when there are a lot of students, people are looking, who is this? The Sheikh says, Allah knows, I hate that. وأتمنى ألا يأبه لي الناس. And I wish the people don't care about me. ولا ينظر إلي أحد من الناس. And no one of them look at me. أحب أن أصير وحدي مع الناس. I like to go with the people by myself. Just like any other person. I don't want people to be crowded around me. The Sheikh said, لكن كلام السلف أنه يجوز ويسوق لطالب العلم أن يمشي مع شيخ لحاجة دينية أو دنيوية. كأن يسأل الشيخ أو يطلب من الشيخ شفاعة أو نحو ذلك ويكره لغير هذا. وأنا أرى أن الإخوة يمشون معي من أجل حاجة دينية غالبا أو دنيوية نادرا. فلا أمنع على ما قرره السلف. طبعا يستثنى العلماء إذا تضرر الشيخ أو تضرر الطالب أو تضرر الناس. هذه مستثنات من كون المشي مع الشيخ يسوق لحاجة دينية أو حاجة دنيوية. The Sheikh said, but سلف said, it is allowed the student of knowledge to go with his Sheikh for a need, for religious need or for worldly need. Like he asked the Sheikh, or he asked the Sheikh Shafa' intercession to intercede for him. The student wants to be accepted from Medina University. The student wants to get married. The student wants something, money. The student wants some other. Then he goes to the Sheikh. He says, Sheikh, can you intercede for me? He said, like that. He need. The Sheikh said, ويكره لغيرها. Other than that, to go with the Sheikh without asking question, or of a religious question or worldly question, worldly need, is disliked. وأنا أرى أن الإخوة يمشون معي من أجل حاجة دينية غالبا أو دنيوي نادر. And I see, he said, the student go with me, they go with me for a need, for religious need, the most of the case, and very rarely for worldly reasons, the Sheikh said. فلا أمنع على ما قرره السلف. I'm not rejecting what the ulama affirm it, confirm it. I'm not rejecting the student to go with me when there is a need. He has a question or he needs something. Then the Sheikh, he mentioned, with the exception, the ulama, they mentioned, when that harmed the Sheikh, it hurt the Sheikh or the students or the people. In this case, then it's exceptional. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Then he mentioned, وقد رأينا بعض شيوخنا تقرأ عليه كتب في سيره من بيتي إلى المسجد. He said, we have seen one of our sheikhs, some of our mashayikh, they being recited, kutub is being recited while they are going from their house to the masjid. أحيانا بعض الدروس مثلا لشيخنا الشيخ عثيمين لشيخنا الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله إذا سمعتموها تجدون أن والطالب يقرأ ويقول السلام عليكم، هذه قرأت على الشيخ وهو يمشي من بيته إلى المسجد، فإذا مر بأحد قال السلام عليكم يمشي ويسلم الشيخ رحمه الله. الشيخ كشيخ السعدي آية في العلم في التواضع في محبة الخير للطلاب رحمه الله ورحمة واسعة وجزاه عنا وعن المسلمين خير جدا. Then the Sheikh mentioned that the student used to recite the books of ilm to Sheikh Uthaymeen while he's going from his house to the masjid. The same thing they used to do with Sheikh Sa'd. So you hear the Sheikh saying, people saying salam, Sheikh saying wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah in the class, in the walking. So he said this is permissible. But when it harmed the people like Ramadan, he said I'm not allowing anybody to go with me because people who are there for ibadah, fasting, a lot of students is pushing people. He said, I don't like that. Al-Muhim. But إذا أن ذلك يجوز وهو صنيع العلماء إذا كان لحاجة دينية أو دنيوية. But that's allowed if there is a need for religious need or for worldly. ويكره لغير ذلك في رمضان بعد العصر يزدحم المسجد فخروجنا معا قد يؤذي الناس مع وجود السفر مع وجود السفر والزحام. He said, in رمضان after عصر مسجد is packed up. So we going together will hurt the people, especially with the presence of sufar, these plastic bags they put for iftar, and also the crowding. وَقَدْ يُعْطِي صُورَةً لَيْسَتْ حَسَنًا عَنْ طُلَّابِ الْعِلْمِ. It may even give a bad image about the student of knowledge. وَيَنْبَغَ عَلَى طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يُحَافِظُ عَلَى الصُورَةِ الْحَسَنَ الَّتِي يَنْبَغَ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا طَالِبٌ. Suitable for the student of knowledge to be upon a good image that a student should be upon. فأنبه إلى هذا الأمر فأنبه إلى هذا. والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد.